The latest news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest, Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. In this episode of Nursing Notes Live, I talk with two recent graduates from the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing. Marcus Henderson and Ian McCurry worked together on a project called Homeless Health and Nursing, Building Community Partnerships for a Healthier Future. It was funded through the University of Pennsylvania's President Engagement Prize. Check out our discussion on their project and their future plans as they continue their collaboration as nurse entrepreneurs with Up and Running Healthcare Solutions. Ian and Marcus, I want to welcome you to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you here on the show this week. I'd like to start off and ask you both to tell me a little bit about yourselves. And why don't we start with you, Ian? Tell me a little bit about your background, why you wanted to become a nurse, and what you're doing right now.
Sure. So my name is Ian McCurry. I'm from Southeast Massachusetts, and I was raised by a nursing professor. I think when you're raised by a nurse, it becomes a really important part of your family life and really who you are. So throughout my entire life, I'd watched how my mom worked with different communities, and I'd always had a lot of respect for the work she did. But I didn't think I'd be able to be a nurse because for a long time, I was really iffy around blood and different things like that. And I kind of just counted it out. But then when I was about 14 or 15, I started working with adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities. So I worked at a summer camp with these people, and I really got to see what it was like to help people who couldn't help themselves and to really improve their quality of life. And I went home and started talking to my mom about it. And she sat me down and she said, "You know what you did was nursing, right? That's what a nurse does. That's what a nurse is somebody who works with other people to improve their quality of life wherever they are." And so as I kind of got towards the later years of high school, I was looking at, you know, the role of what nurses do and really the importance of the work that they perform and how they can change people's lives. So I watched my sister go off to college into nursing school here at the University of Pennsylvania. And so I put in my application. And I ended up coming down here and found that I absolutely love the practice of nursing and what you can do to change other people's lives.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I think your experience really speaks to the diversity of what nurses do in the world around them. And in a very broad sense, we all seek to help people, but we find so many different ways to do that.
Right. And I just really found that nursing was present in places that you wouldn't expect it to be. And I think that that's remained true for a lot of what Marcus and I have done. I mean, most people don't immediately think of homeless shelters when they hear the word nurse. You think more of the inpatient setting and really what that looks like as opposed to being in the community, which I think has been one of the biggest pieces of what we've done.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting you say that because I work with the parish nurse in our community church, and we put on a regular dinner once a week for the homeless in the community. And part of her ministry and her nursing direction is to provide care and advice and kind of keeping track of those people that come through that don't have another source of ready health care. And it's an important part of providing healthcare for that community. So I completely understand. Marcus, tell me a little bit about your background.
Sure. Again, my name's Marcus Henderson. I'm a Philadelphia native, and I wanted to become a nurse because at a young age, I was one of the primary caregivers for my great grandmother who had Alzheimer's disease and my great aunt who had Down syndrome. And from the time I was in elementary school, each and every day I would go to my grandmother's house after school to help her care for her mother and her sister. I would do a number of things from personal care, bed bath, to administering medications. And I did this for a number of years. And I was able to see, you know, the connection and impact you can make for someone who's at such a vulnerable point in their life. For a long time, I was going in and out of the hospital with them, staying overnight, and I would see the nurses in the hospital setting and how they cared for my great-grandmother and my great-aunt. And really, that's what inspired me to really pursue a career in nursing. I always knew I wanted to be in healthcare in some way, but it was really that experience as a caregiver and really the impact that caregivers have that inspired me to become a nurse. I went on to high school, and I enrolled in a career in technical education program here in the city where we learned about health careers and what opportunities there were in the health field. And that was nursing for me. So then I graduated from high school and I applied to Penn, and I really, you know, I've never regretted the decision since. I don't think there's anything else I could do in my life besides be a nurse.
It's interesting because you both came at this from similar directions, really helping at-risk people that you either knew in your family or worked with in your community to have better quality of life. It's just interesting to hear the similarities between your stories.
Right. I think it's so interesting because Marcus and I both came from a setting where we were providing care out in the community. Then you come into nursing school, you know, and you do care in the inpatient setting mostly for 4 years. But afterwards, both of us have transitioned, you know, back out into the community where we originally found nursing. But now we have degrees, and now, you know, we have a stronger skill set to really create a larger amount of change.
So I know the two of you, while you were in school, worked on a project that focused on providing care for the homeless in and around the community surrounding the school. And you know, it's just part and parcel with the type of high quality nursing education and nursing research I see coming out of Penn's nursing program. I have a regular feed that checks to see what Penn's up to. So it's interesting when I got this coming across my desk that to interview you guys, I was really intrigued to get an opportunity to chat. So tell me a little bit about this program. Maybe Ian, you can start, and then Marcus, you can fill in the gaps.
Sure. So I think to really understand our program, we have to look at where it came from to begin. So like you said, Penn is an incredible, incredible place. There's so many opportunities that you can pursue here, from, you know, the research to the high quality training to the teaching hospitals associated with it. But one of the biggest resources of being here is the community that Penn is located in. And a lot of people forget that. They forget to leave campus and really see where real people are at and the impact that your education can make. So I started working in a homeless mission through my church when I was a sophomore in college. And at this mission, we provide, you know, breakfast for 80 people every Saturday. And we do some baseline case management and we hand out some supplies. But when you're a nursing student in a service role like that, it doesn't really stay a secret for too long. So suddenly people were coming up to me and starting to ask me questions, you know, how does this cough sound? Does this wound look infected? Should I go see the doctor about this? And, you know, I was new. So a lot of what I was doing was referring people to care. So eventually I started to turn the questions back around and ask them, you know, where are you receiving your care from? Does your insurance get you the care you need, or do you have some gaps that you need to have addressed? And so at the time, I was working in the Center for Health Equities Research here at Penn, and I started to talk to my boss about some of these issues that I saw. And we had some really nice conversations about the fact that, you know, I was a student and I couldn't, you know, open a clinic with NPs yet because I was in the student role, but that the biggest thing that I was finding was a need to connect to care. So that's really what Marcus and I started to design, and Marcus had some more expertise about, you know, different community-based models that he brought to the table when we started to discuss, which I think he can speak to better than I can.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when Ian and I came together to develop this project, my experience predominantly came from, one, working in the Center for Health Equity Research with Ian on a number of different projects in West Philadelphia, but also I was a school nurse for my community health nursing rotation in Kensington. So being able to work one-on-one with at-risk youth who are experiencing homelessness, but a whole other wide array of social determinants that are affecting their lives on a daily basis, not only for them individually, but also their families and the larger community. So coming together, Ian and I working in the center and talking with our mentors and our bosses, we really wanted to come up with a project to address those care gaps, those connections to care that really were missing for a lot of individuals in vulnerable populations. We both saw homelessness from both ends of the spectrum. I saw it with adolescents. He saw it with adults. So we knew that that was the population that we really wanted to help. So we came up with this idea to develop a community-based case management program using community health workers, which are individuals from the community who have a unique understanding of, one, the community, and two, have shared life experiences and are better able to build a therapeutic relationship with individuals than someone with a degree, a nurse, a social worker, what have you. So we're really excited about the work we're doing to really provide those linkages to primary care services, mental health services, and chronic disease management, and obtaining health insurance for individuals.
And I know that you were able to receive some grant funding through the university's president's grant. Who turned you on to that? Because I think this is something that's important for people to hear, whether you're a nurse or a nursing student, that there is grant funding available for some of these projects, probably more than we ever know. And so I think it's important for people to realize that they need to know how to look and where to look.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So it was early in my third year of nursing school that this idea really started to come together. And I went to sit down with my boss to ask her, you know, would you be okay with mentoring me to write a research paper on this model that, you know, I've thought about and some of the issues that are facing Philadelphia's homeless population? And she looked at me and she sat down and just asked me, have you considered trying to do this for real? You know, not just writing a paper on it, but actually going out, getting funding and implementing this model. She asked me, do you believe in this enough to pursue it? And so she started to tell us about this President's Engagement Prize and really the things that it could do to help springboard our idea. And, you know, as we started to talk about this grant, we found other grants on the side that can help us to, you know, develop our business skills. Marcus and I took part in the Philadelphia Social Innovations Lab, which really worked as an incubator for our idea. They taught us, you know, the policy and the entrepreneurship skills that we really needed in order to be competitive in the sphere of grants. And so I think what's most important for people, you know, nursing students, new nurses, people who are later on in their careers who are looking at developing a new idea is talking and starting to work with other people who know these resources better, because healthcare is shifting so fast right now that all of these ideas, people are so interested to find out what are new methods to deliver healthcare that are going to work better than the things that we've done, because there are populations where what we've done to this point just isn't working. So we were really lucky to be connected to find this funding, you know, and to find people who really believe in what we were doing.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important piece is really building your network, because you're not able to do these things on your own. So when for nursing students that are in a school of nursing, find the opportunities that your school provides, but also find the faculty who know the resources that within the university, but also outside, that can really help you to launch your idea and make that larger impact.
So is the project still going on? Is this something that you were able to get turn into a self-sustaining program, or did it have a certain finite life to it?
Sure. So we're actually our program's just starting. We're funded from July 1, 2017 to June 30 of 2018. So we're really just starting to kick off. As a matter of fact, we launch within the next week or two with our community health workers, because they're currently being trained, and then we're going to launch the program. So we definitely have looked into a number of sustainability models to continue this work after the funding ends, after the first year. One of those is, you know, building our network, like I mentioned earlier, really networking with individuals who are experts in the fields of community engagement, homelessness care, community health workers, and health policy. So when our project is done, you know, these individuals that we've partnered with are committed to our work and our success. So they're the individuals that are going to help us to apply to future grants to continue doing this work. And also there's an academic and research piece that that's included that Ian can talk a little bit more about.
So Marcus is the wizard of networking. He's incredible at it, at finding somebody who knows exactly what we need and really accessing that knowledge. My knowledge comes more from the research side of things. So I worked for years as a research assistant here at Penn. So I really know how researching within a community works. And what we've used those skills for is to really, really make sure that everything we're doing is grounded in the evidence that's available right now. So as we look at designing these sustainability models, and as we look at, you know, creating an effective program that will live on, you know, long after the funding, what my role has been is to really inform it with research and to do our own research, to share our results with the greater academic community so they can say, look, we tried something similar, but you might find doing X, Y, and Z will work better than what you're planning right now. So I think we've combined our skills really well to ensure that our project will be successful both during the year that we're executing it and then after that funding is completed.
You guys have accomplished so much, and in the process of doing all of this and getting it set up, you also graduated from nursing school, which I find astounding. And I'm sure there's a lot of nursing students out there and recent graduates that are just cringing, trying to think how you pulled all this off at the same time you were finishing your final year. What advice would you give to somebody listening that's you know, afraid to take that step because of the mountain they see in front of them?
Yeah. You know, I think my advice would be don't be afraid. You know, I always tell people when a door closes, another one opens. Don't be afraid to seek out those opportunities and ask those hard questions because there's always something out there and everything always happens for a reason. I mean, be engaged, be proud of the profession that you're in, and go out into the community. I think the biggest thing for me is being out in the community and being able to see the work that I'm doing and how it's directly impacting the lives of individuals. So be engaged with your community. Go out, ask them what the problems are, identify those issues, work collaboratively to identify and develop solutions for those problems, and then go back to your network and find those individuals that can support you to, you know, achieving your goals. I mean, there's always something out there. There's always a way to achieve your goal. It's a matter of just finding that path, and it's a lot of work on your own part. It's really taking the initiative for yourself to find those things, because not everything's going to be presented directly to you. Some of those things are, you know, hidden behind, you know, that chair in the office room, or there, you just really have to seek out those unique opportunities. And I really think that's my biggest advice is, you know, be engaged, be proud of the profession you're in, and be tenacious and be, you know, determined to really, you know, do what you want to do.
And I think it's a really interesting point of looking at what we've done on paper and, you know, with finishing nursing school and all of these things. But I kind of laugh when I look at how all of this looks on paper, because to us, it was just our lived experience. It was what made sense at the time. So it sounds like a lot. And I mean, finishing nursing school is difficult and took a lot of time. But in addition to that, you know, we found, you know, the extra time on the sides. And I mean, I love my Google Calendar. I use it all the time. Every hour of my day is generally accounted for. And so we just made the most of the time and the resources that we had while we were in such an active nursing community. Because being in a school of nursing, especially one that's so engaged like Penn, is a unique opportunity. We're surrounded by, you know, leading experts in any field of nursing who have their offices and leave their office door open so you can just walk up. And I would encourage people who are, you know, have these ideas and aren't sure where to get started to go knock down doors and don't be afraid to be told no. It took me, I think, 4 different professors before I was able to find somebody who really believed in what we were doing and was willing to work with us. So it seems like an incredible mountain, but taking that first step to find somebody who believes in you and to help you get yourself organized and create a timeline, that's the first step to doing all of these incredible things.
And the networking, what I hear the thread throughout this story is the networks that you both created. And I know, Ian, you say Marcus is the networking genius, but I heard you talking about people that impacted what you were doing as well. And so, you know, kind of wrapping up here, what are the impacts of mentorship moving forward? And where do you see yourselves developing yourselves as mentors down the road? Ian, why don't you go first?
Sure. So our mentors have been absolutely crucial to us. So we started off with a professor named Janet Dietrich, who worked a lot with families and learning about, you know, families' lived experiences and really listening to the people who you're trying to create change for in order to make sure that change is what's needed. And so I worked with Dr. Dietrich for about 2 years, and then I transitioned over to working with Dr. Terry Lipman. And so what Dr. Lipman does is she does an incredible amount of community-based research in the West Philadelphia community. And so as this idea was really coming into fruition, we started to work and to lean more on the things that she had taught us from her projects in order to create our own and make sure that our own was successful. And I think it's so interesting how fast the transition from being mentored to becoming the mentors has happened. The minute that we got this prize, we started getting emails from people who were asking us, oh, will you sit down with a student of mine to talk to them about what you've done? Will you have time to have a coffee chat with one of my students? They'd love to hear what you've done. And even cold emails from people who we've never met who just want to speak about, you know, I have this idea. What do you think about it? How should I go about getting it funded? It's been such an interesting transition because to us, we still feel like we're just figuring it out. And people are already coming to us and starting to ask us questions about what we've done and really how they can emulate a similar, you know, social innovation or a nursing-based care model.
Marcus, how about you?
Yeah, I would agree. I think mentors are key to success for any individual and definitely have been key to the success of both Ian and myself. Mentors have that unique ability to really connect with you. They have lived experiences, professional experiences that they use to kind of help you steer your path of where you're going within your profession. You know, for us, it was really community-based, you know, research and how can we institute community-based programs. So we found mentors who are experts in this field to really guide us on our journey to developing this project and seeing it come to fruition. But I think it's also interesting, you know, we always think about the mentor-mentee relationship, but at the same time, the mentee is also the mentor, and your mentor at the same time becomes your mentee, because in all of my mentor relationships, I, in funny or indirect ways, have mentored my mentor in ways and taught them things that I would have never have known. So I think a lot of the times we forget, you know, as the mentee, that, you know, we're the one that's gaining the most out of this relationship, but really the mentor is. So it's really a mentor-mentor relationship because you're both going on this journey together. And I think that's what's most important, and I think that's one of the most key aspects to the success of any individual is really finding that individual who understands you, understands your passions, and you can work with each other to really make sure that your journey comes to fruition at the end.
Stay tuned for more episodes here at Nursing Notes Live coming soon. And check out our other episodes this month where we feature more from key nurse leaders innovating and changing the face of healthcare. You'll find that and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.